That's the difference between being a super successful self-storage company or being a successful one.
Hi, welcome back to the Commercial Property Investor Podcast. I'm your host, Jerry Alexander, and today I'm joined by my good friend, Dean. Dean Booty, welcome back.
Hey, Jerry, it's been a long time. Thanks for inviting me back on, buddy.
It's so good to see you again. Our last chat was almost exactly a year ago in April 2023, and we've actually done three episodes already, Dean. You are now almost our co-host.
What an honour. This is brilliant.
And you came and joined us for two mini series about container storage, which is awesome. So anyone listening that wants to go back, after, if you haven't heard Dean before, after this episode, I can guarantee you'll want to hear him again. So there's three episodes there you can go back to about container storage specifically. But Dean, maybe you should just give us, particularly for those that haven't heard you before, what you currently offer. What type of product mix you've got for your customers, because container storage, as you know, is something I absolutely love, but you do much more than that. So maybe you should just give us a quick brief on what you guys offer.
Yeah, so we've got five sites, soon to be six. We're about to open in Ibrox in Glasgow. And predominantly we're indoor self-storage, but we also have a mixture at Buffs, at the sites, because I'm a big believer in when you've got a car park for a building and you've got indoor storage, you might as well maximize it and put containers on. So in all our locations, yes, we have containers, but we've got four indoor and then just one outdoor, soon to be two outdoor. So we're basically a mix of indoor and outdoor, trying to maximize the revenue in any way we can.
Absolutely. Right. So, and we spoke a year ago and, you know, you've just mentioned six sites. A year ago, I think you just completed on Wrexham site four. So it's obviously been a busy 12 months. Maybe you could just tell us how Wrexham's been going and what the other two sites are.
Yeah, so firstly, we sell storage. I think we've got such an amazing opportunity. I get really giddy when I start talking about it. I genuinely do. Because I think we've got an amazing opportunity. At the minute, there's only 0.78 square foot per capita of self-storage per person in the UK. Now, in America, you're talking upwards of 6 square foot per capita. And so I think in 10 years' time, we'll look back on this and think, oh my God, what an opportunity we had to open self-storage. So I don't want to be looking back in 5 and 10 years and thinking I could have maximized the opportunity. I didn't really take a full advantage. I knew we had something. And so, yeah, I want to expand as relatively quick as possible without overstretching myself. And so, yeah, last year we opened in Wrexham. We actually purchased Wrexham off a real nice couple who was retiring. He'd previously had a heart attack. And Jerry, this is how good I am at negotiating. He wanted 80,000 and I give him 90,000 because I thought it was worth more. He wanted it paying over 3 years. And because he'd had a heart attack, I was concerned that he might not see the 3 years. So I paid it over 2 years. But in terms of a deal, just to really whet your appetite. So I tell everybody everything about on my podcast anyway, all the numbers. So we bought it for 90,000. It was £45,000 up front and £45,000 paid over 2 years. There was £25,000 in the bank already. And so all I had to put in was £20,000 of my own money. It wasn't, we knew there was an opportunity there, but there was a little few tweaks we could do here and there to really maximize it. It was making £10,000 a year, but there was £19,000 of wages going through, of their wages, but they was retiring. I knew we could make that manless. And so it was only really making around about £30,000. However, they'd done no revenue management in 15 years. They wasn't charging correctly. We could instantly make it a manless facility. We could add some containers. And so fast forward 9 months, we're now making £9,000 net profit a month from that site. So it's just over £100,000. So we've increased the profits by £100,000 just by doing a little bit of tweaks here and there. And you don't have to do a lot to a self-storage company to make it successful. But also the decisions you make, I mean, he sold out for 90,000. If he'd just done tweaked it here and there, he could have got £500,000 comfortably for this site. So I genuinely feel a little bit sorry for him, but that we've come along and just made them tweaks. So yeah, Wrexham's been really, really good. And then we've opened in Mansfield. That was our fifth site. This was one where my wife said to me, Dean, please don't do it. When's enough? Because it was going to be £1 million investment. And when you first open a self-storage and indoor site, we've just been talking about it, you've got all the rent, all the rates, you've got all the electric, you've got the staff and all the expenses, and then obviously the repayments of loans, because obviously we don't fund it ourselves. £1 million, a lot of money. And then we've got no money coming in when you first open. And so my wife was saying, come on, Dean, you know, please don't do it. And so one day I brought home some flowers and stuff and said, listen, we need to go to solicitors tomorrow because you need to sign a personal guarantee again. And she was like, listen, if this goes wrong, you're for the chop. And so luckily it's been the best opening we've ever done. It was 10,000 square foot let in under 3 months. We're now just over 13,000 square foot in four months and 9 days. And so yeah, it's gone really, really well. We're still at a cash flow negative position, but we couldn't be happy. Honestly, I feel very, very blessed with that site. And then we've just opened again. We're gonna have to do more personal guarantees because we're opening a really lovely site in Ibrox, but the ground wasn't perfect, so we spent 80 grand making the ground nice and level and just so you know, put containers on. And that's basically it, Jerry. In
a wee nutshell, I've got loads of questions about all those things, and I'm going to dabble in a couple because that's not everything we're going to talk about. But just the Ibrox one, that's a long distance away from where you are. So just tell me how you're going to manage a container site from what's probably, 4 hours away, 5 hours away?
Yeah. It's so we went there and back, and we did it in 12 hours from my house 2 days ago with my dad. And we only stopped there for a half an hour meeting, and it was 12 hours. But yeah, a lot of people believe that in self-storage, you need to be local to yourself. And that's a one limiting belief that I want to dispel. Because in America, I'm in a mastermind in America for self-storage, and they all talk about being local, an 8 hour drive. If you can get there within a day, that's local. So almost anywhere in the UK for me is classed as local. But for some reason in the UK, we just believe that it should be an hour and a half away, an hour away. But what we do is we team up with a local handyman, and we've come across some amazing handymen. And they're just, if we ever need them or anything, you know, we can just, we have local cleaners as well. We have a local handyman, and we, in America, they call it boots on the ground. But with the software nowadays that you can manage your site from afar. We've opened in Wrexham, that's 3.5 hours away from us. We haven't probably been there for 2.5, 3 months. Mansfield is going to be manless as well. And yeah, with Glasgow, with a container site, there's going to be PIN code entry. There's going to be monitored CCTV that we monitor from our head office. And you can just do it all from afar. There's really no need for you to be there, especially with a site. There's going to be 101 ground floor containers, and then we're going to have toppers at the top. So that size of a site, there's just people... I think people overcomplicate it, and the systems out there that can allow you to run the site manless.
Yeah. And on terms of the actual locks on the containers, how are you managing that?
Yeah. So people can buy a lock from us.
Yep.
And if they want to buy a lock, that's absolutely fine. What happens is the cleaner will put a lock in every single unit. And then when she leaves, when they leave, the customer will know when the cleaner comes back, if they've actually used the lock or not. If they have, we'll invoice them. If they haven't, then obviously we just keep it there for the next person. But there is another way of doing it as well. Cause I'm always a student of self-storage, and I can't believe that I didn't know this before, but you can have lock boxes as well. Simple lock boxes. I came across a place in Scarborough, actually only got one single location, but has this massive big board of all different lock boxes, and you just simply put padlocks in there, and then people, you give somebody a code, and then they open it as well. So there's many different ways to do it.
Brilliant. Okay, all right. And the one you were talking about there with all the outflow, all the money pouring out the door, right? But you're getting now, it's not Wrexham, the following one, sorry.
Mansfield,
that's right. But Mansfield, even that site you're talking about having manless as well, which is fantastic. What's the total size of it?
Yeah, it's 20,000 square foot is Mansfield.
So you're 13,000 already let.
Yeah. Well, we've got a mezzanine floor in, so the gross is 40,000 with a mezzanine floor, and then we've got containers out. The beauty of it is, it was no Wick site, and the only reason we got this site, and you've got to be lucky as well as good. Well, I'd rather be lucky than good, and we'd certainly got lucky because the old landlord didn't.
Let me take a moment to thank Office R&D for supporting the podcast. It's really important to us that we only work with sponsors that we've used ourselves. It's all about being authentic, right? Office R&D is the best flexible workspace platform we've come across, and believe me, we've tried a few systems over the last 20 years. Office R&D helps us manage our invoicing, customer community, reporting, building access, and many more aspects of our day-to-day operations. Why not book yourself a free demo to see how they can help you free up more time to grow your business? Follow the partner link in the show notes.
Want to sell it, and there was other big operators who wanted this location because it's on the main road, it's opposite Tesco's, but he wouldn't ever sell it. And we're fine with leasing, and so we got on a 20 year lease. But because it'd been on the market for, this was during COVID, it was on the market as well because it was a COVID vaccination center for some time. And so because it was on the market for quite some time, we played a little bit of hardball. One, because I thought I was going to get a divorce if it didn't work out, and I knew the wife didn't really want me to do it. So I could play a little bit of hardball. And we managed to get 18 months half price rent, which was a big, big thing for me, because by the time you get for the 18 months, it should be a mature site. At the minute, we are currently taking £18,000 ex-VAT at that site. So after 4 months, that's really, really good, because that's in the half price offer as well, because we did an offer, get people in 12 weeks half price. We've cut that down now to 8 weeks on most of the units now there. So yeah, it's going incredible.
Before I ask this question, I just want to say for those that are listening that Dean has finally capitulated after many conversations and refusals to actually put together an online course, haven't you? A guide, a roadmap for aspiring storage investors, right? We're going to come on to that in a minute. So if you are keen on Dean's strategy, we're going to talk about where you can maybe find out some more information from Dean in a little bit. But back to Mansfield, you talk about it being a 40,000 square foot site, which sounds incredibly large. What would you put down the rapid take up of the space to? And you know, the other question in my head is just competition. You know, was there much competition? I know you do a lot of research on the demographics and looking at what the competition's like. I mean, did you hit up the perfect patch? What's happened on that one?
Yeah, it was like a perfect storm. So 2 years ago, I was in talks with buying another self storage in Mansfield. Unfortunately, that fell through for one reason or another, and so I already knew the figures for that. Site. There's two main indoor sites in Mansfield. And then one of them last year, the other one contacted me and asked me, because of my podcast and stuff, asked me if I wanted to buy his self storage in Mansfield. And so I knew it was a really good area based on their results. And we could, again, it was too small for us to purchase that one. And so I knew that the square foot was probably around about 0.4 square foot per capita. And so there was huge area for growth there, which was just incredible for us. And we could outposition everybody else. But also, with the best will in the world, they wasn't amazing facilities. And probably one of our strengths and weaknesses is that we spend a lot of money on our shop fit, because I want to be proud of it. And so, I knew that we could, one, outposition them. We could offer a better product and serving. But I also knew there was getting over £25 per square foot, which is incredible for that area.
That's huge,
And there was no revenue management in place either in them places. So I knew we could even improve on that. And then also I looked on Google for SEO. There was aggregators ranking. Aggregators are where they, you know, like compare to Meerkat, compare to market. So they was ranking. As soon as they're ranking in an area, you're thinking, hello, we're in here. Store First was ranking number one, and they wasn't even in the town. They was in Nottingham, but there was 30 minutes drive away. So I was like, hang about a minute. Google are telling me that I can quickly outrank everybody here. And so I can be number one. There wasn't much pay-per-clicks. I did my research, and most of the places was full, even the container sites. And it was just a perfect storm. And we did something we've never done before as well. We spent £8,500 on a leaflet drop in every single, because I thought, do you know what? Let's try some lumpy mail. Let's try physical mail. I've never really done it before. And so we had... We put a QR code on to a separate landing page that wasn't indexed by Google to make sure that we could actually see how many people came through that. That was really, really successful. And yeah, it was just a perfect storm all around. I think we opened, we opened in November the 13th, which isn't traditionally a really good time, but we also pre-sold as well, which I haven't done in other locations, which is stupid, really. You learn by your mistakes. And so 8 months out, we started pre-selling, we started doing Google ads, and then straight away we had 6,000 square foot move in the first month or first 6 weeks, which was fantastic. So yeah, it was just a perfect. There was a number of other things that was perfect about it, but yeah, they're in a nutshell, they're the highlights.
Fantastic. Okay, and I know we've discussed before about demographics and the numbers that you maybe look for different locations. So we're not going to cover that again. It's in previous podcasts. But what I want to ask you about is, from the outside looking in, Dean, I know you're super excited about this industry and you've been spinning the wheels fast. But looking in from the outside, there's gone from 3 sites to 5 sites, right? To 6 sites, did you say?
Yes.
6 sites in a pretty short period of time. I mean, has there been a mindset shift? Has something happened in Dean's head, or were you always on that trajectory? It's just now the momentum's picking up.
Yeah, it's a good question, actually. And if I'm honest, I don't actually know the answer to that question. There's definitely been no mindset shift because I've always wanted to expand quickly. It's just that the opportunities have come along. I mean, I wasn't even looking for the site in Ibrox. I every now and again scan through what's available. And the story behind that was I'm friends with John McGlynn, who's got Storage Vault. Yep. He's got Storage Vault everywhere. And I've always said that I won't compete with him. And this came up in Ibrox, and I was like, all right, how far is it away from Storage Vault? Because it's a great location on the corner. I knew I could do something really good with it. And I got in touch with, it'd been online for 2 or 3 days. And I kept it on my homepage for some reason. And, I'm not cheating on John McGlynn here. It's just I'm just flirting with the agent. Anyway, I rang the agent, got on really, really well with him. And he said, listen, if I'm honest, Dean, it's going to be a self-storage facility, whatever, because we're just about to accept an offer tomorrow from another self-storage company. And I said, can I guess who it is? And so I threw a couple of names out and I couldn't believe who was taking it. I was like, they're expanding faster than me. I don't like. And so I explained to the agent, he's friends with John as well. Yeah. And he said, listen, just tell John, he's going to be competing with somebody. So he might as well
ask for permission. Yes.
Yeah. So I got in touch with John and just said, listen, this is the opportunity. This is what's happening. And John was really, really graceful and just says, Dean, my advice to you, because he knows I love a mentor. He said, if I was mentoring you, I would say, do it. Do what's right by you. And I said, is that your acceptance? And he goes, yeah, go for it. And so, yeah, so but then the next thing is I had to make sure that I beat the previous offer because I knew who was accepting it. I knew somebody who works in that company and it was all true. And then so I had to give a £10,000 bonus to the landlord. Just say, look, if we can come to heads of terms today within 24 hours, I'll give you a £10,000 bonus. And so we did that. And then we got in heads of terms in 24 hours. So which was fantastic. But in terms of a mindset shift, no, maybe it's because we are now taking more money. And so we've got every single time I seem
more confidence.
Yeah. Every single time I seem to be in a cash flow positive position, I go and do something stupid and open another self storage. And then I'm in a cash flow problem again. And then we'll get right again. And then I'll open another one. But the idea is that I want to open a further 2 or 3 this year. So I'd certainly want to get to 8. And with container sites, I don't think I'll do another indoor site for the next couple of years because that is very, very capital intensive. Yep. Where a container site, I was going to open in a place called Irvine. I don't think I've mentioned it to you, but I told the landlord, I met this amazing landlord, really, really nice guy. And he said, what are you going to do with it? So I went to his hotel. He's got a hotel and met the agent and the landlord, got on amazingly well. But you know me, Jerry, I've got a big mouth. And I told him exactly what I was going to do. I was going to document the whole process of opening a self-storage facility for £20,000, under £20,000, and netting £100,000 after year.
You've done that before. Did you not learn before?
Yeah. My site in Beverly, making £180,000 a year. We literally spend an hour on it a week because it's a mature site. And the landlord listened to my podcast and tried to kick me out and now he couldn't actually kick me out in the end because the lease was coming to me, but I was inside the act, so I was okay. Yes. But he opened up half a mile down the road from me, and he's full as well. And so there's a happy ending to that one. But the Irving one, it prickles me because I told him everything, and then he's gone and done it himself now. He said, to be fair, at least he was open and honest, and he actually rang me up to tell me face to face. And then he asked me, he said, will you help me open a self-storage because I've never opened one before? And I was like, yeah, no problem.
You don't ask, you don't get.
I was like, and he goes, don't worry, I'll pay. I said, I don't want any money, I'll help you.
So, oh, come on. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but yeah, so container sites, you don't have to spend a lot of money to open a container site. Like this one in Ibrox is a little bit different because we're going to have to invest around about £100,000 in it. But normally you can asset finance the containers as and when you need them. And we get 3 months credit as well with the container site. So therefore we get the customers in before we need to pay for it. And ultimately the customer pays for the container. So it cash flows really, really quickly. So we'll probably be doing that for the next 2 or 3 sites.
Fantastic. Okay. And obviously you're now going UK wide. So you're up here in Scotland. And any plans on at some point buying rather than leasing? As in sites, or is that actually just going to cloudy the waters?
No, so this site, I haven't actually mentioned it to you, this site has got an option to purchase on the site. So it's 0.8 acres. It's the option to purchase is £800,000. I have no idea if that's a good deal or not, but the option's there. And ultimately, I know that I've got 5 years for the option to purchase. So if I can prove to the banks that it's a good business model and making money, then banks are more willing to lend to the person who's trading out of that premises. So that is to get, I'm probably going to sell in about 10 years time, and to get the biggest multiple, I do need some freeholds. Because if any sort of coach, I always try to pay for coaching and stuff. And they're all saying to me, Dean, you need freeholds to get the maximum multiple. So yeah, we're definitely going to look at that. But at the minute, there's only so much funds I've got to put a deposit down.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's always the juxtaposition when you're growing fast and you go through that cycle you were talking about where it's cash flowing negative, then producing a surplus, then going to your partner and saying, can I get another personal guarantee, and going back down in the hole and then back. And the bank keeps saying to me, you know, and the accountant like, Jerry, you need to stop. Just 1 year stop. Don't do anything. Prove to everybody you make loads of money and then you can go again, you know? And it's like, yeah, but I don't want to stop for a year.
Yeah,
that's the actual thing, right?
The killer words are, you need a period of consolidation.
That's like, it, yeah.
What? No, I don't need a period. I've got a massive, look at what's happening in America. I haven't got time for a period of consolidation.
That's exactly it, yeah. Right, one other thing I want to ask you about, because last time when we spoke, we were still in that kind of post-COVID booster environment where self-storage was absolutely being hammered. And, you know, we, both of us have discussed, you know, from 2020 onwards, the occupancy rates have gone right up on self-storage. Have you noticed anything come off? Is there still, you know, probably more your mature sites, Dean, is probably the better place to look at, but have you noticed that COVID booster's calmed down a little bit, or is everything still full steam ahead?
Yeah, do you know what? I'm just going to open something up here because I've got a part of this on the course. So basically, yeah, with COVID, I could see pretty early on after the first lockdown, we lost around about 20% of our revenue. I thought, oh no, here we go. This is absolutely terrible. Did all my cash flow forecasts, expecting to carry on. And all of a sudden, the opposite happened and people kept moving in and it was fantastic. But so really early on, I realized that the supply, the demand was going faster than the supply. And so we knew that if it continued on that trajectory, that we was going to be full pretty quickly. And so what we did was we increased prices really, really quickly. And in the space of 7 months, we went from taking £35,000 a month at Willoughby to taking £58,000 a month. Wow. So it was absolutely crazy, which was obviously fantastic for us. And yeah, we really maximized it. But what we did was I did a podcast episode saying, probably just at the height of COVID, saying, look, winter's coming, because the way I think about self-storage is that it's like a tide. It comes in the summer and it goes out in the winter. And then hopefully you keep a little bit of you don't lose all the people that come in, you gain some long-term ones. But it was inevitability that it was going to happen, that self-storage could not continue at that level. And so I just said, look, do not do your projections as this is a new norm. This isn't the norm. This is just a COVID boost. This is a bonus for us. And by the way, I feel sorry for so many businesses. Like my family, they had a TP wedding business. That went out of business because of COVID. So it was a horrible time for people. But fortunately for self-storage, we was just very, very lucky. But ultimately, last year, I knew that occupancy was going to drop, and our occupancy did drop. I'm trying to find the exact figures because I've just done a training on it. We dropped about 9%, somewhere around there, at my big site, Willoughby, but our revenue only dropped by something like 0.6%, because as long as you're doing your revenue management correctly, demand pricing, making sure that you're increasing the street rate of units that are in high demand, and then increasing current customers' prices at the right time as well, then you don't really want to see your revenue drop. Even if there's not occupancy drop, you don't want to see your revenue drop. This year, our revenue will increase by about 13% or 14% at our big site. If we continue on what we've done in the first 2 months, which have been fantastic.
That's really interesting. Do you do as much revenue management on your containers?
Yeah, we do revenue management on everything. That's been the big difference. Do you know what? I was listening to a podcast. This is years and years and years ago, and he was talking about why we should increase prices to our current customers, because obviously everything goes up, and if you never increase your prices, then in effect you're actually losing money on them long-term customers. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, oh my god, that is so true. And yeah, with our revenue management now, and understanding about price increases, understanding about supply and demand, demand pricing, my first site at Beverley was taking 56,000, and fast forward 2 years, and it's taking now over fast forward them 2 years, it was taking nearly £100,000 more. It was 152,000. So we increased our revenue by nearly 100,000. But in that time, we lost occupancy. So we lost occupancy, but still managed to gain revenue because we was doing everything correctly. So yeah, I think that's the difference between being a super successful self-storage company or being a successful one. It's the way I look at it, it's like insurance. When you first have an insurance policy on your car, the rate's quite cheap when you go to compare the market or whatever, because they're hoping that they'll get you on the second year. So my wife, her renewal was due, and it went up massively from first to second, and most people just can't be asked to do anything about it, and that's the rate they're really hoping you to get. And so she went back and compared the market, put all the details in, and the same insurance company came up that she just got a renewal from, and it was cheaper than the first year she got it. And so yeah, and I don't think she was allowed to do it for whatever reason. But yeah, and so the way I look at it is that the price somebody comes in at, that to me is the introductory price. I don't really want to charge you that price. The real price is up here, but you're coming in on a lower price, and eventually, in the fullness of time, that's what I want to start charging you. And that's what all the big boys do. That's what Netflix do, etc. So if you want the big boy results, you've got to almost have a mindset like a big boy.
We spoke before about churn being the price of good margin. Do you think that for the containers, and talking specifically about that site, that your churn rate is reasonable? I mean, what is your churn rate? Do you know?
Yeah, we know all the churn rates. Yeah, so at our big site, our churn rate is 112% in a year. At Willoughby. So that is absolutely massive, but it's not classed as a mature site yet. But our churn rate is under 50% at our mature site. And everybody asks me, yeah, but if you put prices up for customers, does that affect churn? And the true answer is probably it must do somewhere, but we every single time somebody gives notice, it doesn't matter how many customers, we've got over 1,000 customers, and we make sure that every single time they give notice, I ask our team to fill in, okay, when was their last price increase? Was it 3 months ago, 2 months ago, or a month ago, or more? And we cannot see any correlation between price increases and people moving out. Yeah. I don't think, I mean, there must be some people, but as a whole, I don't think there is any correlation. And certainly, the extra revenue you get certainly outweighs the extra churn you get. Ultimately, people need storage because they need storage. There's a need, there's a necessity for it. And people normally leave when that need has gone. So when you're moving home, for example, then people have moved home, they've got the nice new house, and then they start slowly but surely putting the stuff back in.
Yeah. Okay. Dean, like probably a number of people listen to this, I got an umpteen other questions. Every time we talk about a subject, I'm like, right, I need to ask that. Make some notes. We can't fit it all in. But it's probably a good time to just talk about your major online brain dump, right? So let's talk about that. And I've been given access to that already. So I've had a look at some of the detail, and you spoke there about the Irvin project and said, I don't know if I've told you about this, Jerry. You hadn't told me about it, but I had heard about it on your online course, right? So how on earth, just you know, there's a lot of detail in there, right? There's a lot of sections and parts of the game of storage. And the first question I'm looking at, knowing you, I'm just like, how on earth did you find the time to get all that stuff out of your head into one place where people can learn about how to do this stuff?
Yeah, so first of all, it was you who was telling me to do it last year, like, Dean, do a course. I'm like, yeah, I ain't got time. And I kept getting messages from people asking me the same question, can I have 15 minutes of your time, half an hour of your time? And I thought, do you know what? I'm just going to do a course about how to find a self-storage facility. And then I thought, wait a second, if I do a course about how to find one, but then how do we operate it? I can't just leave them with just a self-storage site and not know anything else. And then so I kept adding modules. I did, oh, okay, I need to know how to sell. Right, the five magic questions that we use. And then I thought, okay, but then projections, I need to know how to do projections. And I'm like, oh, no. And honestly, halfway through, I wish I'd never started it, because it was so long. It was long, tedious. But now I genuinely look back and think, I am so proud of that. I'm so proud that I've done it. And do you know, the great thing is I've got some family members actually going through the course as well. And people, I get a lot of grief as well from people in the industry, because they like to keep it a secret, yes, for self-storage. Yeah. And self-storage has given me such an amazing life. And lifestyle as well, because like I say, you can operate remotely. We've got an amazing team, so I can take the kids to school. We can go on holidays. And if I can just help other people get that, like, just most people get divorced because of money. And if you've got no money worries, and I'm not saying self-storage is no money worries, because for me, there's always cash flow problems and the wife threatening to leave me if I give another personal guarantee. But apart from that, yeah, it has given me such an amazing lifestyle. So that's why I put the course together. And yeah, it took blooming ages, but I'm glad that all that work is now done. But it's going to keep improving as well, because I want to keep it, making sure that it's the go-to resource for self-storage.
Yeah, what can people expect in there, Dean?
Right, so we've got a section. The first section is finding a location. What do we look for when we're finding a location? So we go through all that section there, how to validate it, and then we got I put a section in, because obviously Mansfield's been so successful. So I put a section in why I chose Mansfield. And then there's some awesome tools that not many people are aware of, how to calculate a square footage of a site. And yep, so I put the tools in there. And then there's two ways of finding a site. Number one is finding an area first. I call this your hit list. So I've got like 20 plus hit lists where I know are fantastic for self-storage. The only problem is there isn't a site available. So every week or month, I go onto these different sites and look, see if there's anything available. So that's number one. You find a location first, put it on your hit list, an area, and then you find the site second. Or like Glasgow, you find a site first, and then you do all the all the validation after that. So there's them two ways that we run through. And then I talk about your USP as well in the next module, because I think it's so important to understand what you are. What are you the go-to? Like for us, we're the high premium self-storage operator, and so therefore that's our USP. What's your USP might be something completely different. So understanding yourself and knowing yourself. So we talk about that in section four, and then projections are so important. I've got three different ways of projecting. Number one is back of a fag packet, and believe it or not, I use this more than the professional version. And then I go for a comprehensive version and a middle of a road version that you can use. And then we talk about pricing strategy. And do you know what? This is really embarrassing, Jerry. I've never had a pricing strategy before. I've just opened and just almost put my finger in the air and thought, yeah, that sounds about right for pricing. But I really, this time I spoke to loads of different people, what the big boys did, how they operated, and I almost amalgamated it all together with Mansfield. And I've got stage one, stage two, stage three of pricing. And so we run through the exact pricing model. And I thought, hang about a minute, that's all very well, but how do we market it? What do we do? How do we get traffic? How do we get customers? So in the next session, we talk about getting traffic, getting customers, what we basically did at Mansfield to let up so fast. And then I thought, okay, you've got the traffic, then what do you do? And then so I thought, well, people need to know how to sell.
Operate.
Yeah, selling, follow-up, debt procedure. So that's the next one. There's a software tool that I really love that we've actually built, costs us thousands of pounds, and I've only been personally using it. I haven't given it to other people, but that's one of the bonuses in the course. And by the way, I'm taking that away, Jerry, so because I genuinely do think it's too good. So obviously your audience can have it, but I don't want to give it to too many more people. Basically, you put your postcode in of where your site might be, and it tells you the population in a 1 mile radius, 3 mile radius, 5 mile radius. It tells you the demographics, i.e. how much the people are earning, because there's something called implied affordability for self-storage. So normally a household can afford 6.5% of their income for self-storage. And so then you can work your way backwards, how much you could charge for units and stuff. So we have how much income they have in that area. And then we've got drive time in there as well. So a drive time radius of 5 minutes drive time, 10 minutes and 15 minutes of your population there. And then there's also a map. It tells you how many storages are in that site, in that area, as well as Google Street Views. It's just a great tool. I love it. And then my revenue management, talk about revenue management. That's another bonus. So my price increase letter, what we say, and I've got a section how we increased prices during COVID, what that made to us, and just the whole system, how we increase prices, the demand pricing, etc. And then there's a section called doctor. Basically, if your self-storage is doing badly, what do you do? How do you know what section it is? So you might, so all of a sudden you're thinking, right, okay, I aren't getting the quote. So firstly, then you start asking, well, I aren't getting the move-ins. So are you getting the reservations? And you work your way back. Ultimately, you want to see how much traffic's coming in. I like to see 20% of my traffic are actually getting quotes. So if I'm getting 500 people could visit my website, I want 100 people getting a quote. If I'm not, then the website's not doing its job. And then from that 100, we work backwards, how many of them 100 should convert into a customer. So basically, doctor, it helps you pinpoint where the problem areas are of your self-storage funnel. And then the last bonus, and I'll show up going on about it, is I've got my VA over the past few years to have a spreadsheet of every single town in the UK with the population and the amount of self-storage in that town. And so you can quickly write, okay, Irvine's got 4 self-storages. It's got a population of this. Right, that looks all right. I might take a closer look. And so, yeah, there's that spreadsheet in there, which I can spend hours on it because I just love looking at areas of interest to put on my hit list. So, Jerry, in a nutshell, that's basically everything, buddy.
That is a lot, though. So basically, it's from the very start of analyzing and looking at locations, finding the locations, buying the location, designing, fitting it out, and all the costs and the selling of the space and the operations. Yeah. It's not quite going right, I like that doctor.
Yeah. So it literally is step by step. But I don't, because I had my sisters in mind, because obviously my sisters lost their company during COVID. I mean, one's gone back to being a solicitor and one's gone back being a teacher, but they've got to swap time for money. And so I use my sisters as who I was coaching, kind of thing. So so I was trying to think of an avatar who is somebody that we can help. Yeah. And so I knew that my sisters didn't know anything about marketing, anything about getting customers, anything about selling. And so I thought, right, okay, I need to put that in. And so, yeah, I've literally couldn't have put anything more in. There's nothing that I know that I haven't put in there.
Nothing you've held. But so, Dean, you mentioned, I mean, I think what you share on a week-to-week basis on your podcast, Hacking Self-Storage, is just unbelievable. And there's so many episodes there that I've learned lots from. And I do get asked myself about container storage quite a lot because, you know, I talk about how awesome that business is. And obviously, we're not on the kind of scale that you are. But I do get asked, you know, well, Jerry, can you help me with this? Or what do you think about this site? And what do you think about that site? And part of the reason for chasing you up about it is just so that I can say, look, yeah, sure, I know for my small bits I've been doing, but actually, here's the grandmaster. I know you have an imposter syndrome thing, right? But here's the grandmaster. And you've agreed to give us an exclusive discount on this for our listeners, which they're not going to get anywhere else, which I totally appreciate. So now I don't have to go and produce this sort of stuff. I just say, look, here's Dean. Here's his online course covering everything that you just discussed there. And here's access to it. And you have kindly agreed to a third off for anybody that's podcast listeners. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put a we've got a partners link in the bottom of our show notes where anyone listening wants to go and research that and have a look at Dean's course. You just go down there, go to the partners link. There'll be a link on there suitably called something like Dean Booty's course, something imaginative like that. And you'll be able to go, I think we're going to, we think we've worked out the tech so they can get their third off as soon as they go through that link, right? I think they have to follow that link to do that.
Yeah, that's it. So as soon as I did it, I actually reached out to you straight away because obviously, because without you, I probably would never have done this course. So I wanted to thank you, first of all, for doing it. So yeah, even through my own links, now you can't buy the course. We opened for a week and then we've closed it now. And so the only place you can actually buy it right now is through Jerry. And yeah, I just wanted to thank you, Jerry, honestly, because you've been pushing me. The next thing, before this podcast interview, Jerry was talking about, Dean, you've got to do a mastermind. You've got to do a mastermind. that might be coming, I don't know, later on in the year, but maybe, yeah. So thanks to you, Jerry. I thought that...
Mate, listen, you're welcome to join us on our mastermind anytime you want, just to see how that works, right?
Well, now I've got a site in Scotland.
That's true, right? Once a quarter, you can come visit us. Perfect. All right, that's brilliant. Dean, just where else can people find you? The other thing you've done in this last year is committed to a newsletter, which you're doing unbelievably regularly. So maybe you just want to tell people about your podcast, where they can find you, and also your newsletter.
Yeah, so the newsletter is called MrSelfStorage.com. I thought, do you know what? Let's do a newsletter as well. So it's a daily newsletter that literally tells you how much revenue I've taken for the five sites, soon to be six, and the amount of quotes we get for each site, the conversions, the move-ins, etc. It literally tells you the reports I get every evening for my five locations. And then we do a self-storage tip as well. So something that can help you operate your self-storage more profitably or easier. So every day we do a self-storage tip. And then we have three news articles related to self-storage. What's going on in the world with self-storage, whether it be a new opening in Scotland or a new site down in London. Yeah, we find out about pretty much everything there is to know about self-storage in the UK. So yeah, it's daily newsletter, MrSelfStorage.com, completely free, and gets sent out around about 6:45 a.m. every day.
And there's a small matter of the podcast.
Oh, sorry, the podcast, yeah. Yeah, Hacking Self-Storage. Normally do between 3 and 5 episodes. When I'm not on holiday, it's five episodes a week. Yeah, so we release them every Monday to Friday. Yeah, Hacking Self-Storage. Awesome. Cheers, Jerry.
Great, Dean. It's been so good to catch up and to have you back on the show. Thank you so much for joining us.
No, thanks for having me, Jerry. I appreciate it. And thank you very much for making me do the course. It was blooming hard work, but I really enjoyed it. Well,
that's fantastic.
I enjoy it now it's over.
Yes. You're satisfied.
Yes. Yeah.
You're welcome. All right. Thanks, Dean. Speak to you again.
Yeah. Cheers, Jerry.